Be looking at Romans 12 this morning again. So please, if you have your Bibles, turn with me there. Our theme for the year that we've been going through is renew. And as you know, we've been journeying through some different topics on renewing our walk with God through dedicating and devoting our bodies as a offering of worship to God. And in seeking to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And then the last several weeks, we've been focusing on forgiveness and what that means. And we've had some messages on the need for forgiveness. And last week, we talked about the basis for forgiveness. And the basis for forgiveness is love. And ultimately, that love begins with God and our drawing near to Him and having an understanding and feeling the need to respond to His love for us. And that is exemplified in the cross. But we also focused, beginning in this verse, this is a little different translation than we used last week. This is the New Living Translation, but I like how it reads. It says, "Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good, love each other with genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other." And so this "don't pretend to love one another" is a sincerity of love that we talked about, not having any hypocrisy in our love for each other. And then love with genuine affection refers to the phileo love that we are to have with each other, a brotherly, sisterly love, a camaraderie as we seek to honor one another. And then we moved on and talked about practical love and how we should be hospitable to one another and seek to serve one another. And the Apostle Paul in this passage goes on and continues to lay out practical ways that we can love one another. In fact, I don't think that we've truly have forgiven someone if we don't really live it out then in our relationship with them. I was talking with a brother once who was struggling with forgiveness, and the issue wasn't so much that they didn't forgive, or at least thought that they had forgiven from their heart, but they really didn't want to have anything to do with the person, and they still seem to have some kind of an animosity towards them. And I think what God is calling for us is to indeed try to forgive someone from the heart, but also seek to live that out in our relationship as we seek true reconciliation, when we can come together and walk alongside this another person or persons that may have offended us, both in a sacrificial love and also in a love that has camaraderie with one another. So we're going to look briefly at four points that we see from this passage as we continue from last week. And today we're looking at verses 14 through 16. So let's read this together. "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited." And we see here some hard words, I think, of what it means to live out forgiveness and to show love towards one another. And the first is to bless adversaries. And I think this probably is a difficult one, because if someone is an adversary, if someone is persecuting us, if someone is taking a position against us, I think our natural response is not to maybe it's even difficult to forgive, but the Lord is calling us even to go beyond forgiveness and to actually extend a blessing to someone. So Paul writes, "Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse." And I think this this is taking it to a whole other level beyond forgiveness, but in our actions, actually blessing somebody. I had, there was someone I remember talking with who's of my my father's generation, maybe a little older than my father, who's in his 80s now, who had served in World War II. And he had served on the Japanese front. And I think it was a he was just kind of in the midst of all of the brutality of war. And I remember at one point I had this conversation because at the time when I was in college, I did a missions trip to Japan. We had a team from my campus ministry, and we actually, I think, spent about 3 or 4 weeks in Japan. And I was raising funds for the trip, and I spoke to this individual, and he was someone who I believe was a Christian and went to church, but he wouldn't give to my missions trip, which is fine. There was no compulsion for that. But the reason that he gave was interesting because basically, since I was going to Japan, he still harbored animosity towards the Japanese. And I mean, like, to me, it would seem like the logical thing would be to try to forgive and to move on. But I hadn't been in his shoes, and I think that what he had experienced just really just put a block or barrier in his life towards those people, or the people of Japan. And here we're called to, in spite of whatever someone may do against us, whatever atrocities that you may have experienced, and obviously for this brother it was an extreme circumstance, but we're called to forgive, but move beyond that to actually to bless and to not curse. This is a picture of a, actually, I believe the center person next to the lady, I think it's him. The caption was that a pastor from Taiwan was arrested with a house church in China. And he was, I guess, doing ministry in China. He had come over from Taiwan. And as you know, they've been cracking down on believers in China as of late. And he and this group that he was ministering to, pastoring, was arrested. And again, here's a situation where how do you react as a believer? You're just trying to live out your life, and you're actually underground, not trying to hurt anyone, just worshiping the Lord, and you know, somehow they sought you out, or maybe someone informed on you, and next thing you know, you're in prison. And how do you deal with that? And I think it includes forgiveness, as difficult as that may be, but actually seeking to be a blessing to those who persecute and to seek to lead them to the Lord. And I think that's what believers in China are trying to do. But how do we live this out? We're not necessarily, you know, have any danger of being arrested in the middle of the day during our worship service. But I think one of the things I thought of is I think we're really fractured in our politics right now. And I follow politics pretty closely and over the years, and I've never really seen kind of the animosity that people have against one another when it comes to politics. And actually it goes, so the symbol for the Democratic Party is a donkey, and the symbol for the Republican Party is a elephant. And you see there's actually lines in between, and that symbolizes actually some differences and maybe even disagreements and animosity that people have within the party. There is a group of people, or maybe a movement within the Republican Party called Never Trumpers. And so these are people who are conservative in their politics and in their economics, but for whatever reason, they disagree with President Trump's approach or maybe his policies. And so there's actually a fracture within the Republican Party. And in the same way, there's in the Democratic Party, there's a spectrum of belief from more liberal. There's actually Democratic socialists that are within the Democratic Party, and they have very different views and often, you know, come to, figuratively come to blows in terms of their beliefs with each other. So you have these big differences within the parties and a lot of infighting, and then you see that you, instead of facing towards each other, which as Americans, I think we should be able to agree to disagree, but I think increasingly that's not the case. And so those who adhere to the different political views, I think, are more and more not even being very civil to one another. And so if someone maybe is not civil to you or is trying to put you down because you're of another political persuasion, that's one way that I think it, practically maybe today that as Christians we can maybe be more unifiers than dividers. But I think there's practical application in all aspects of our life because there may be a situation maybe for those in school that you have experienced bullying, and how do you respond to a bully, and how do you come to the point of forgiving and maybe blessing? Or maybe in your workplace there's someone who just has it out against you, and how do you deal with someone like that and still show the love of Christ? So I think forgiving and going on to bless and to be a unifying presence and a God's presence of peace in a situation is definitely a difficult thing, but something that the Lord wants us to work towards. There's a second aspect of our living out forgiveness and showing love towards one another is by sharing empathy. And the Apostle Paul goes on and says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn." And I think this is something that maybe the rejoicing part's a little bit easier to do when someone's happy and we can come alongside them and be happy with them. I think this can sometimes be a little bit difficult in sports, because if someone, say, is an Alabama fan in football and you really hate Alabama, it's hard to, "Oh, congratulations, I hate your team, but I love you." But in any case, I think there'll be a lot of people today in the Super Bowl that really want to see New England lose because they're kind of the dominant team. But nonetheless, hopefully we can have fun. It's a game, and we can enjoy watching together. And I also wanted to point out a difference between sympathy and empathy, and I think both of these are valid responses. One isn't necessarily bad, but sympathy is feelings of pity and sorrow for someone else's misfortune, and it says they had great sympathy for the flood victims. And so sympathy is something that, you know, you feel bad for someone and you express sorrow because of what they've gone through. But empathy takes it to another level, and empathy is seeing with the eyes of another, listening with the ears of another, and feeling with the heart of another. And it's basically trying to put yourself in another person's shoes and coming alongside them and really trying to feel the pain with them, whatever they're going through. I think in some cases this can be difficult, and that's why sympathy isn't necessarily wrong. I will fully admit that as a guy, there's just no way that I can empathize with a woman who is going through childbirth. I've experienced pain in my life, but it's something that I can be sympathetic towards, but I can't necessarily feel the deep empathy that women can come alongside each other in something like that. But nonetheless, I think though we have different experiences, we're called to try to live out and feel and come alongside one another and experience their pain with them. This is a picture of a Jewish family, and there is the ceremony or the custom tradition in Judaism when someone dies is that they sit Shiva. It's S-H-I-V-A. And Shiva is it basically is a word for seven, and it denotes 7 days of mourning. And what happens is when someone dies in a Jewish family, the family comes together in the household of one of the family members, and all of the close relatives especially are there, and they sit and they mourn and they welcome friends and family to come into their home and to mourn with them. And it's not so much even a situation where there's a type of religious ceremony going on, because they would have that in the funeral rites, but nonetheless, it's a place where people can perhaps show empathy to maybe most importantly in times like this of death and grieving, to just come alongside someone and be with them. That is often maybe the most powerful thing that one can do, and And so we're called to show empathy towards others when they're going through difficult and trying times. And again, this is something beyond just forgiving from the heart, but actually living it out in our actions and lives. Thirdly, the Apostle Paul goes on and calls us to live harmoniously. And he says, live in harmony with one another. And when I think of harmony, I happen to think of balance. And I don't know where someone took this picture, but it's quite impressive. And I think, you know, harmony, I mean, people will talk about having like harmony in their, just in their life, but we're also called to have harmony in our relationships with each other, and things can easily get out of balance, but we're called to actually seek to live in this state of being maybe one with one another and having a good relationship with each other, and even moving beyond maybe the difficulties that we may have. The other day, my family, we watched this movie. Zach actually wanted to watch the movie. He's not here today. He's not feeling well. But I was kind of interested. Usually he likes superhero movies, but he wanted to watch a classic. And this particular movie is called 12 Angry Men. And it's about a jury. The setting of the movie, I think the movie was made in 1961, so it was a black and white film. It actually is kind of jarring to think that there would be a jury of all white men. Like in America now, if you have a jury of your peers, it's probably going to be a jury of men and women, young and old, different ethnic groups. And in fact, if it was a jury now of 12 men, 12 angry men, most likely there would be an appeal and they would throw out the conviction if there was a conviction. So we've really kind of, I think, in spite of our problems, we have moved on in some respects, but it's actually a really good movie, and I believe business schools show this in a lot of their management classes because of the lessons that can be learned in terms of group dynamics. And in this particular movie, there was a young man who was accused and on trial for murder, and the setting of the movie is in the jury room now, these men kind of fighting it out in terms of whether this young man was guilty or innocent. And I can say that title of the movie kind of was borne out in the action and the sequences of the movie, in that there were people that really had a strong disagreement with one another whether the young man was guilty or innocent, but it was interesting how they kind of worked through the issues to come ultimately to a conclusion. And I thought about this because this is something that on our executive board, our governing board, we talk to especially the new members that are coming in the leadership as a deacon, in terms of how we should relate to one another. And I think one of the things we always say is that when we discuss an issue, it's actually good if we can disagree and we can give our opinions, and maybe sometimes even things can, you know, get a little bit hot around the collar, as the expression goes. But nonetheless, we still want to work towards a consensus, work towards a conclusion, and that might sometimes mean that everybody has to maybe compromise in some way, or maybe it's that one or two have to compromise in some way. But nonetheless, we want to come to we seek always to come to a point of consensus where we can all agree on a course of action, and that this is something that we really feel that the Lord wants us to do. And at the end of the day, we can still respect each other, we can still have fellowship with one another, and we can still have unity with one another. And I think that's what the Lord is calling us to in respect to living in harmony. We want to see that in our leadership, but I think we also want to see that in our congregation. And whether you're working and helping out in different ministries, we all want to have harmony. We may have some disagreements, but nonetheless, we want to have unity in moving forward in terms of our decision-making. And then finally, the last point that Paul makes in this particular section is to walk humbly. And he says, do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. And I think conceited and pride are similar words, and it's thinking more highly of oneself than they ought to. And I would say most people would never probably admit to being proud. You know, I'm a pretty conceited person. You know, I think we all do have... I think we probably all have some issues of pride, but I don't think it's something that we maybe recognize in ourselves or that we would admit to. And I do think there's, at least in the English language, some kind of variance in terms of what pride is, or what I think there's this being conceited, which is a negative form of being proud, and that's thinking too highly of oneself. But there's also when someone says, you know, to their child, or maybe, you know, a someone in the youth group, if they did something well, we would say, well, I'm proud of you. And I don't think that's being proud of someone in that respect is necessarily a negative thing. There's an expression that sometimes people use, like they may take pride in their work. And hopefully everyone can take pride in their work. And that, the image that I get in terms of that expression would be maybe, say, a tradesperson, a carpenter who builds cabinets or shelves or whatever, you know, thing a carpenter could make, but one that tries to do their work with excellence, they could rightly say, I take pride in my work. It's not necessarily that they're proud or conceited, but they're just trying to do a good job. And I think the pride here that Paul's talking about is this negative form of pride where we're kind of putting ourselves above others or thinking that we're better than someone else, perhaps, and so we're not to be conceited. And I think this term is called, the theological term is amahudehi. Amahudehi basically means in the image of God. And scripturally, we see in the very beginning words of the Bible in Genesis that indeed we are all made in God's image. And Genesis 1:27 says, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And so every one of us, whether rich or poor or of difficult circumstances or from a humble upbringing or a more privileged upbringing, whatever our circumstance in life, nonetheless, we are in the image of God, and because of that, we are to treat people with dignity and respect, because indeed they are reflecting God's image in their life. And I think it's actually really good, and it's in the announcements, and we'll be praying and talking about that. But we have our ministry this year, as we usually do, in Findlay Park to those who are houseless. And I'm heartened by the response of the congregation. I think we've raised over $800 this year so far in this endeavor to help those that are without homes in this this more difficult weather environment. But we do so, and I think our motivation in helping others should be this idea of amahudehi, that everyone is created in the image of God. And of course, we want to ultimately meet people's spiritual needs and lead them to Christ, but oftentimes to do that, you have to first meet their physical needs. And though we're only doing this in a very maybe limited way, I think it's still a way that we can show the love of God towards others. And we're called to do this in all aspects of our life. We're called to not to have partiality, but to treat people in the same way, no matter what they're standing in life. There was a sister in my college fellowship who was really good at this. And, you know, she would, if whatever the context, she would actually kind of be able to identify people who may not be feeling well, or if we were in a situation where we were in some meeting hall, and she would find out the custodian or the janitor and begin to talk with them and to try to make them feel welcome, not to treat them just as a worker or someone that has to do something on our behalf, but actually to engage them and try to let them know that we care for them. And so I think we're called to do this in all aspects of our life. So what are some lessons that we can learn from this? Well, I think there's actually a lot to chew on. And I think for each of us, there may be some different ways that we can live this out. But I basically came up with a series of questions that relate to each aspect. So in terms of bless our adversaries, is there someone that you need to forgive and bless? That can be a difficult thing, and it may be something we really need to come to the Lord in prayer to be able to come to a point of blessing others. Is there, in terms of the second point, sharing empathy, is there someone hurting, someone that we can come alongside, and in doing so, not merely feeling sorry for them, but also trying to really feel their pain? In terms of living harmoniously, are we living in harmony with one another? And is there ways that maybe we need to make things right in order to have this unity with brothers and sisters and maybe even family members? And then finally, in terms of walking humbly, can you help someone made in God's image? I think not only did God say, don't be conceited, but he really kind of laid it out that a way of overcoming conceit is by actually helping others made in God's image. So these are, you know, various aspects that the Apostle Paul has laid out, and I think each one of them can actually be a lot to wrestle with. But nonetheless, maybe this week we can think of an area that the Lord can use us in, or we can work through some different issues in our life that we may draw closer to him. I like this phrase, and I think this kind of sums up, I hope it sums up what I've been trying to get at. Forgiving leads to love. Actually, I think love leads to forgiveness. The love of God and our love for one another leads to forgiveness, but then when we forgive, that should hopefully also lead to love, that we express more than just words, maybe more than just what's going in our heart, but that we're tangibly trying to seek for the good of others and to help them in all these different aspects. And so may the Lord give us strength as we seek to serve him this week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you, Lord, for your word. And this is just a very small passage of scripture, but yet it's easy to just kind of read it and move on to the other teachings of Paul. But nonetheless, even these few words have a lot of implications in how we are to live out our life, seeking to love one another, seeking to forgive one another, and actually practically living out that love, Lord, in our relationships. And so please give us your strength as we seek to follow you and apply these words in our lives today and every day. In Christ's name, amen.